Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I had a story set to do today, and I got bombarded with this story in the meantime. So due to popular demand, I will move this story to the head of the line. I will also thank a representative class member because too many people sent it to me to thank them all. And if you did not send it to me, you have to ask yourself, what did you do yesterday? Because this story was wall to wall on the national news. And one of the reasons people sent it to me was, of course, it happened here in Michigan. So I'm going to go with a story from the Washington Post, but it was covered everywhere. Timothy Bella wrote this version. Headline, judge shames 72-year-old cancer patient too weak to tend to his own lawn. 3 years ago, the man was diagnosed with cancer. And since then, he's had a difficult time maintaining his yard and keeping his property in suburban Detroit in good shape. This is all going on in Hamtramck, Michigan. At a recent Michigan State Court appearance over Zoom, the 72-year-old man struggled to breathe as he explained to a judge that he was very weak and unable to clean up the grass that had overtaken the home over the summer. Now, I've seen photographs of what it looked like on the internet, and it was a bit of a mess. It was. But that's not the thing. No one is saying that the man should be allowed to leave his yard like that. Here's the problem. 31st District Judge Alexis G. Krott, K-R-O-T, Krott, had no sympathy for the man. Instead, she shamed the cancer patient for the neighborhood blight and told him the punishment she wished she could have given him. These are the quotes. You should be ashamed of yourself. If I could give you jail time on this, I would. The judge told the man she wished she could throw him in jail, but she couldn't. But she wished she could. And this is a great example of a lack of restraint. And judges are supposed to treat everyone before them with respect. And I don't care what you did. If you're the judge, you treat people in your courtroom with respect. You know why? The number one reason why is that you expect them to respect you. Respect goes both ways. So if you're in front of a judge, the judge should be respectful to you, and you should be respectful to the judge. Now, I've had people say, Steve, I don't have to be respectful to a judge. Do what you want to do. Live dangerously. But I think things tend to go better in court, and I can say this with 31 years of experience in courtrooms, including this courtroom, but not with this judge, that things go smoother for everyone if there's a little bit of respect being handed around. You should be ashamed of yourself. If I could give you jail time on this, I would. So she issued him a $100 fine for failing to keep up with home maintenance, and she called the amount of grass on his walkways totally inappropriate. When the man reiterated that he was very sick, she said his inability to keep up with his property was inexcusable. Inexcusable. The neighbors should not have to look at this, she told him. And then repeated, you should be ashamed of yourself. So this judge is speaking to somebody who is a bit more aged than she is, trying to be nice about this, because the man's 72 years old. And she's speaking to him like he's a child. So you should be ashamed of yourself. The neighbors should not have to look at that. A video of the court exchange was shared on social media, with many critics blasting the judge for how she handled what should have been a routine hearing. Among those was the man's son, who joined his father for the court hearing this week. And this is a great example of when a judge has lost touch with what's going on in the courtroom. Because everyone should know in this age of the internet and social media that Zoom hearings, which are public, are being shared widely. There are judges who actually have followings now on social media because their hearings are so entertaining to watch. Not necessarily like this, out of control, but simply because there's a judge who's no-nonsense judge, for instance. That's a great example, Judge Middleton. And there are others. And so the fact that the judge is saying this on camera and knows it's on camera and knows about the internet because she's using Zoom and doesn't think twice about telling a 72-year-old cancer patient, you should be ashamed of yourself. If I could give you jail time on this, I would. You should be ashamed of yourself. So the son, who's 33, said, the way she said that to my father, should serve jail time for this thing, really bugged me. I was really shocked by it. I didn't expect her to yell at us in this kind of a situation. So the father was on the Zoom call because he was the subject of it, but the son was there. So the judge did not immediately return a request for comment. Her role as a judge forbids her from commenting on the case, according to WDIV, which is the NBC affiliate in Detroit. Meanwhile, this man, who is 72 years old, and his family came to the U.S. from Bangladesh in 2010. They settled full-time in Michigan in 2014. They bought their current home in Hamtramck, which is about 6 miles from downtown Detroit. And Hamtramck is a neat little town. It's actually completely surrounded by Detroit. It is an enclave, as they say. The family was devastated when the father was diagnosed with cancer in his lymph nodes in February of 2019, his son told the Post. And the son said he's seen his father's health deteriorate, not just from the cancer, but also a heart issue and high blood pressure. His mother also faced health issues after she fell down the stairs and hurt her back. He says, it's been difficult, adding that the cancer treatments have affected his father's mobility. The son said his father and his mother were diligent in cleaning the yard since the cancer diagnosis, but the family faced challenges when the son traveled overseas for a few months last year. And so the son has been helping his parents with their yard. So his parents were unable to keep up on the maintenance, and the grass and weeds grew out of control in front of and on the side of the house. So they admit this happened. They're not arguing whether or not it happened. And stuff happens, okay? When the son returned home, his father informed him that they were issued a ticket on August 2nd, 2021, for what Crott described as failing to keep the fence, walkway, sidewalk, or alley free of trees, leaves, or other items. Of course, there was a lot of rain around that time, which did cause some of the foliage to grow faster than it might otherwise. He said it was a chain reaction. The neighbors probably complained and took the picture that was sent to the city. So he's not saying nothing should be done. And I don't think anybody is saying that. But the point is that if you go to court, whether you're guilty or not, you go to court, you are respectful to the court, court should be respectful to you. And the court needs to actually look at every single case, no matter how mundane or routine they are, and actually take the time to think about a particular case and go, okay, what's appropriate here? What's appropriate here? And we've all seen the situations where a house gets abandoned and weeds grow this high. Somebody is supposed to be taking care of that. What's their excuse? Oh, well, they moved away and couldn't sell the house. Now the house is in foreclosure and nobody's taking care of the house. This case, we've got a 72-year-old guy who's got cancer and he's got a wife who's not getting around that much and their son helps them. The son left town and he didn't make arrangements to have the yard taken care of while he's gone. That's the mistake. For that, should you be thrown in jail? No, the judge didn't throw him in jail, but the judge said she would have if she could have, but her hands were tied. And now people who think sentencing guidelines are bad understand. It works both ways. There are situations where a judge would throw someone in jail if they could over weeds in an overgrown yard. And don't get me wrong. If my next door neighbor let their yard go out of control, I might complain too. But I might also ask myself, what's going on? Is there a reason this is happening? Oh, the 72-year-old guy's got cancer. And his wife is hurt. And their son is out of town. So a $100 fine, which I guess they've paid, makes sense. That's an appropriate thing. But to chastise the man, and by the way, you might not have thought of this, but the point is, why do you chastise somebody when you could simply say it's $100? $100 fine, pay it, boom. Next. The fact that she stops in the process to chastise a 72-year-old man and say, I wish I could throw you in jail. You should be ashamed of yourself. Why is she doing that? And I've seen judges lecture people before and say, you know, this is the second time I've seen you here. Or if I see you here again, such and such. Or do you understand what we're talking about here? Because it's pretty clear that we didn't. okay? Does anybody doubt that the 72-year-old cancer patient knew what was wrong with his yard? He knew it. Is there any doubt that it didn't get taken care of? No doubt. But what was at the heart of it? It looks more like an oversight. Now, I understand the oversight may have caused an unsightly condition with the yard, and neighbors may have been upset. I understand that. $100 fine, perfectly appropriate. The lecture is not. I'd throw you in jail if I could, and you should be ashamed of yourself. I'll tell you who should be ashamed of herself is District Judge Alexis G. Krot, K-R-O-T. I pulled this information off the website for the district court there in Hamtramck. And Judge Krot was appointed to the bench by the governor back in 2016, but then elected by the people of the city of Hamtramck in November 2018. So this often happens that if there's a vacancy, the governor gets to appoint somebody to the vacancy. And when you run for judge, you get to put the honorable in front of your name if you are on the bench. So someone who is appointed to the bench can almost certainly win the next election. So somebody who gets appointed to the bench gets this fast lane to being a judge. She got her Bachelor of Science from Tulane, a JD from Loyola, and a Master's of Business from the University of Detroit Mercy, which is the school I taught at for 10 years. Prior to taking the bench, she practiced business, criminal, and family law in courts throughout Michigan and served as the assistant city attorney for the city of Hamtramck and as a magistrate at the 31st District Court. So this is not her first rodeo. She's been on the bench since 2016 when she was appointed, but prior to that had been a magistrate in that same courthouse. She also serves on the board and as a trustee for the Academy of the Sacred Heart, which is a Catholic private prep school in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. It's been there since 1851. Very, very old and well-known Catholic school. But the judge is out of bounds here without question. Now, I'll tell you, I've been in this court one time, and it's not the same kind of situation, but I'm going to tell it to you anyways. There was a time when I was coming back from Detroit. I'd been in court in downtown Detroit. I was coming back, and they routed everybody off of I-75. And I don't know if it was for construction or for an accident, but they routed everyone off at one exit. You went down, and you got back onto the next exit. And the road you went on heading north went underneath, I believe, a train overpass, but it may have been a road. And as I came down the hill, I saw the cop in the shadows underneath the overpass with a radar gun out. Boom, 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 boom. And sure enough, pulled over and ticketed me. And I believe I got a ticket for doing five over. I believe it was five over. I could be wrong. It may have been 10, but I think it was five. Because I remember thinking it was a real borderline thing. So cop gives me a ticket, Hamtramck cop. So I go back to my office. I'm a little peeved because I got a ticket. So I file the paperwork, and I decide to fight it myself. And I've gotten tickets in my life where I've actually hired an attorney to handle them for me. And I've handled hundreds and hundreds of tickets for other people. So I file the paperwork. I'm like, you know something? This is such a minor little thing. I'm going to do it myself. So I file the paperwork. I get a notice of a hearing date. And I go, and the courtroom is jammed. I mean, it is wall-to-wall humanity in there. And I go find the prosecutor. I say, my name's Steve Leto. I'm here on my own case. I am an attorney, but I'm also the defendant. Guy goes, no deals. And I go, come on. You got to give me something. He goes, nope, no deals. He goes, going to court, wait. So it's the afternoon session. So it's about, I'm guessing, 1 o'clock, 1:15. I go, and I can't even sit down at first. So I'm standing along a back wall, and eventually as more and more people leave, I sit down. And as the judge is getting to the very, very end, as he works his way through all of the files on his desk, he finally gets to me. He calls, Leto, Hamtramck versus Leto. And I stand up. You're ready, Your Honor. I walk up front. And I'm wearing a suit and a tie. Imagine that. I'm wearing a suit and a tie. And just to get the joke out of the way, I go, Your Honor, just so you know, I am an attorney. I'm representing myself. And yes, I know what they say. I've got a fool for a client to do so. And the judge kind of laughs. He goes, but you're an attorney? And I go, yeah. And he goes, why didn't you tell my clerk? And I go, well, I'm here on my own behalf, Your Honor. So a lot of courts will call people who've got attorneys earlier than people who don't. And I know people say it's unfair until you realize that if I call the case that's got an attorney and a client and dispose of it, two people leave the courtroom. If I call the case of one person, no attorney, One person leaves the courtroom when they're done. So you can clear the courtroom out faster by calling the attorneys first. Believe it or not, it makes sense. He goes, why didn't you tell my clerk? And I said, I'm by myself and I'm just representing myself and I wasn't going to take advantage of that. And now the judge actually felt bad. He actually said, well, if you told me, I would have called you earlier. He goes, how long have you been here? And I said, I got here at 1:15 or 1:30, whatever it was. And the judge felt bad. And then he goes, has the prosecutor offered you a deal? And I go, no, he hasn't. And he looks around and the prosecutor's not in the courtroom. The prosecutor's still sitting in his office doing I don't know what. And the judge goes, well, what do you got here, 5 over? I can't remember what it was because this was early 1990s, my friends. So this was a while ago. They had on the books at the time a cause of action that they could write you for as a civil infraction. Had no points, but a fine, where it basically says that you were driving a little bit too fast for the conditions, but not so bad that it was dangerous, that kind of thing. Maybe a limited access, something like that. Anyways, he goes, do you want that? I said, sure. He goes, okay. How do you plead? And I go, responsible, because it's a civil infraction. He goes, go pay. And I walked out and I walked by the office of the prosecutors sitting in there. I don't know what he's doing in there, playing video games or something. But I got a decent deal, but I spent the entire afternoon there. But that's my only experience in that courtroom. So I have been in the courtroom. But when I saw the story, I'm like, oh, this is not a good look. So the interesting thing is, I know people are going to wonder, there's going to be a large backlash, and already has been a large backlash, against this judge, and I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if you can rate judges on Google or Yelp. I don't know. But the bigger question is this appropriate behavior on the bench? And in the old days, if somebody were to go and say, I got treated inappropriately by a judge, they'd pull the transcript, and they could read it and say, you should be ashamed of yourself. If I could give you jail time on this, I would. But now when you watch the video of something, suddenly it comes alive. So I'll be curious to know if anything comes of this. But I feel for the guy. And like I said, I don't think anybody questions. The yard's overgrown. Should have been taken care of. It wasn't. That's a $100 fine. But you got to take things into consideration. And whether you should be telling somebody like that, you should be ashamed of yourself. And if I could give you jail time on this, I would. I don't know how appropriate that is. In my mind, that is shameful. So Washington Post by Timothy Bella. Judge shames 72-year-old cancer patient 2 weeks to tend to his own lawn. And Keith said, when he sent this to me, Steve, lack of decorum much? Need a doctor's note? Questions or comments? Put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Minimalism isn't about owning less than you need. It's about owning exactly what you need.